Cool. Okay, and welcome to the Rondo. We're back again. Another crazy week of PL football across the league. Title race, top four race, relegation. But anyway, man, it's your boy AA hosting, as usual. I'm joined by...
Kiko.
What's funny, man? Clock and Kiko, you know what I'm saying? Back on the Rondo. Yes, yes.
Come on, come on. On his second appearance.
Yeah, Max Waves.
Come on, come on.
Glad to be back on. Cheers, guys.
Come on, my bro.
And Marcus.
It's been a little while, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Our co-host, he's back in.
That's it.
Doing what he does best. Not really, man. That's me, but he tries. Okay. Anyway.
This is what we're doing.
Where it's going today.
This is what we're doing now.
Okay. On today's show, we're going to start off with the title race, of course. So an epic game, a really good game, I'm not going to lie, between Liverpool and City. Well, for a neutral, not too much for me. But we'll get into that, and we're going to talk about the major talking points of that game and what that means for the wider title race. We will then go into a little preview of Arsenal and City's game at the end of the month and how Arsenal are doing as well in the title race. Then we're going to move on to the top four race. We're going to talk about the game between Aston Villa and Spurs today, as Villa got battered today at home. Then we're going to do our normal weekly roundup and rondos. Then we're going to finish off with a little bonus topic where we talk about, well, we'll get to it, man. I feel like I've been talking enough, so I can't bother to go through on that. We've got a little bonus topic where we're going to get the whiteboards out, do the little usual. So, okay, without further ado, we've got to move into the big game today. Liverpool City, absolute title clincher. I feel like if a team did get 3 points today, I feel like it would have been a massive statement. I feel like since it's a draw, sort of everything's still quite wide open. So let's go straight into it. What's our thoughts? Max, you start.
Yeah, I'm really, really struggling to come away with that game sort of thinking that it's 2 points dropped. Mm. It is, because it is. Considering the injuries we've had, they started the better team.
Yeah.
We conceded, obviously, a goal first sort of 20 to 25 minutes. I'm really proud of the performance, but I can't help but just think it's 2 points dropped in this title race. I think it's the PTSD with the previous title races with City. We had the chances. We were the better team. Proud of the players, but I just come away a bit disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm similar. Like, you have to seize on those opportunities. I do feel like, you know, City are a great side, so they did have, you know, upper hands in elements of the game. But from about 25th minute through to the 75th, so that's a 50-minute period, we were the better team. And if you think about, I think it was about the 55th minute to the 70th minute where Anfield was rocking, to not come away with the 3 points, the chances that were missed. Hey, Luis Diaz.
No.
Luis Diaz, bro, today. Hey, man.
But everything apart from his finishing, he put on a clinic today.
From his finishing was there, but...
That's what lets him down as well.
Yeah, it does let him down. But when you think about a player in this prime, I think Diaz is 27, 28 now. And to miss those three chances, big chances, you know, wasn't really back against the wall. We're the better team in the game. And for him to come away with zero goals. I don't even think he had a shot on target from those chances. Mane comes away with a hat-trick.
I was literally about to say,
with that,
I miss my guy. Because if he's going in 1v1 there, and there's only one outcome, and that's the difference between a top-tier player like Diaz and a world-class player like Mane.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I think
realistically, you've dropped 2 points because of Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade.
You've
dropped it because of him. And you know what it was with the Diaz chances as well? It wasn't like... it was a half chance, or it was like, oh, he kind of had an angle and he could have done something. These are clear cut chances you have to be scoring at least one of them. And I think today just cemented where we kind of like rank him in terms of like being a winger in the Premier League. Like, he's not part of the top tier elite bunch, but he's that tier below.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He kind of, I think someone said on Twitter actually, like, he kind of plays a bit like Garnacho, obviously he's better, and he's 28. He doesn't play like Garnacho, no. But is it in terms of like that sort of like? There's so much fire and talent there, but it doesn't really quite, kind of it doesn't lead to you know to those like ultimate refined goods. For him to, I don't know. Like, honestly, the one-on-one after Salah made an amazing pass, by the way. We're going to talk about him. But and the chance where Nunes kind of reverses the pass back into him. Criminal.
I know.
Like, I thought the third chance was actually a little bit hard. Like, I felt like where it was kind of behind him. I don't think that was as easy as...
What, where he tried, where he took a touch
where
and
he
then
took
Kyle Walker caught him?
Because he just went ahead of the ball.
Bro, that's a clear-cut chance.
It's a clear-cut chance, of course. Yeah. But I don't feel like it's as criminal as the other... Like, the other two are... Like, that is criminal. Like, that is criminal.
Say the first two chances, he gets 20 years each. Sentencing it, Joe. The last one was 15 years. Fair. And it's not that much difference.
Like. So just to kind of finish it up on Diaz, for you, is he... where does he kind of stand for Liverpool now? Is he a player that we can depend on in this sort of new generation?
No, his next development is to become that ice-cold killer in front of goal. But what makes Diaz so good is also what kind of lets him down for me. So he's so tenacious, like non-stop, like Garnacho, elements of that. But he hasn't got the ability yet to calm down in front of goal and just finish it like Mane used to. And that's his next development for me. He's still probably in our best front three, but this is where he missed Jota as well. Someone, if Jota was in, that's a goal.
You're talking about development. Diaz is 27, like,
he's
a young footballer who's still learning his trade. Like, this is a player that you bought him at the age of 25. This is a player that you got. And do you think that he's going to be your left wing going forward? Or do you feel like in the next 2-3 years, you're going to have to go into the market and find someone who's a bit more clinical? Or obviously, Salah probably going to be going within the next 2 years.
He's still a very, very good winger for me. But like, that's what makes those world-class wingers like Mane type players that next level. It's hard to come by. You can't just, I get what you're saying, he's 27, obviously that development probably isn't going to come now, but he's still definitely a great option for our squad. Today he was doing stuff to Walker that I don't see many wingers do.
He gave Walker a tough skates, time
like,
today,
and he had Rodri on the floor, had Walker on the floor, like, yeah.
But for me, I think he can be in our lineup. Like, obviously I was fuming today, but if you're actually looking at it holistically, I think he can be in our lineup, but he's not going to be a Mane or a Salah. He's going to be like the other sort of filler there. We need, probably if Salah leaves, we need to go into the market and get someone serious to kind of fill that void. I feel like Nunes has the capability actually to sort of step up and be, you know, a top level player that we can depend on. There's still development there, but he's a bit younger. Mm. But Diaz now, I think we know what he is now. And yeah, that's unfortunate. But someone else I want to speak on is Gakpo. I thought he came on today and he had another big chance. And for me, I don't feel like he added much outside of his chance. I feel like he kind of choked the chance passing it to Salah. I'm just interested in hearing where people think his role in Liverpool is going forward.
He's a flop signing.
Oh, you think he's a flop?
Yeah.
How much was he bought for? 37
it
million?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's a flop signing. He hasn't come in and really done anything for you. He hasn't contributed enough. His overall gameplay is not good enough. He scored a few goals here and there last season. This season he's been very poor. Every time I've seen him, he's not able to lead the line for you when you've played him in other positions. He doesn't stand out. He's probably the worst attacker you have at the club.
He is the worst attacker. First,
you know what the thing is with Gakpo as well is, like, in terms of what he was bought to be. Like, say for example, if he wasn't scoring goals, but you were seeing all of like the F9 traits, he was dropping deep, going past players, you know what I mean, finding passes and everything like that. A bit like Gabriel Jesus, you'd be like, all right, cool. He's not getting the goals, but I can see he's doing something. Yeah. He's not doing anything. He's shy. He's like, bro, the chance today, he was shy and he was awful. Today, like,
Easy. Well, to be fair, I don't care about
usually him. Players cut their hair and then they have a good performance. He did have a good performance.
No, to be fair,
it doesn't make sense.
I think he's off the level of our other attackers, and I do feel like we have to be honest with where he's at. I hope it can, you know, maybe eventually work out, but as we stand, I'm similar in your camp, man. I was actually very surprised that Nunes came off for Gakpo, to be honest. I don't know what that was about. I feel like that's probably the only kind of sub that Klopp got wrong today and element of his in-game management. But again, just lacking. But anyway, man, let's kind of move on from that. I think there's still a lot of positives from Liverpool today. So for you guys, both Marcus and LeSean, were there any players that you specifically were impressed with at Liverpool? Because obviously it was a good performance. We just didn't get what we want.
All right, I have to kind of... all right, cool. There's one player I've been getting onto for a little while, and he showed me something today. That was Endo.
Okay.
I think Endo had a good performance.
I've been wanting to hear this today because a couple men were moving a bit disrespectful last week about a certain Endo. You go on. You give him the case.
You know what it is, yeah? Like, when you signed him, he wasn't your second, he wasn't your third. Maybe he was your fourth choice or something like that. So I've never rated him. I haven't respected him. I haven't been taking in what he was doing.
His debut was terrible.
He started off slow. Everything.
Yeah, he started off slow.
But then today, I was watching the game and then I'm just seeing Liverpool like retain possession. Like when City are trying to get forward, I'm seeing this person break up play and then find the right pass, distribute passes. It. So then I looked closer at my screen and I saw number 3 and I said, wait, is that Endo? But he was very, very good today. Like, to be honest, like, he probably had a better performance than Rodri. It doesn't mean anything, like Rodri's still the better player, but he did very, very well today. I'll give him that.
Thank you. That's all right, because I saw Toby last week, he tried to give Endo some prop. I mean, I think he did, you know, go a bit far with the star signing. But he was even just trying to say he feels like he's one of the most underrated players this season. Try to give him some credit. And everyone in the studios piling up on him. I thought Endo, like he has been, another fantastic performance. He's been so consistent, keying it up. I'm not going to lie, KDB, Foden, slightly got pocketed today by Endo. is that what we're saying?
Relax.
Because that's what I'm seeing. No, he slightly did. He took the ball off KDB in transition, which I was even surprised at. A couple of times, nicked off him. Nicked off Foden a couple of times. Now, obviously, I feel like it was the team in totality, but I think, you know, quality performance in this. There's been a few from him.
Yeah, I think City started off the better team, and then Endo and Liverpool as a team sort of grew into it, and you saw Foden and De Bruyne get controlled more. Obviously, De Bruyne came off, which helped us a little bit. But I actually want to speak about McAllister's performance. Oh. I thought he was probably the best midfielder on the pitch. Full of treble winners, world-class midfielders. I thought he was the best midfielder, standout player. He's probably been our best player the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And I just think he was actually made for this City team. I can't believe Pep didn't actually snap him up before we got there. I feel like he's very similar to Gundogan.
Yeah, he is very similar, actually.
Profile is very similar. But we're just so lucky that we got him for the price and he's doing so well.
35 million.
He's doing amazing at the minute.
Why do you feel like McAllister's kind of... Why do you think it's changed for him in recent weeks and he's become one of our best players? Is it the move from number 6 to number 8?
Yeah, that definitely helps. Also, Endo's kind of, I hate the word, but like kind of unlocked him because obviously McAllister's deficiencies are off the ball and Endo's strengths are off the ball. So he helps complement him very well. And now we're seeing what he can do on the ball, which is his main strength.
Yeah, he was real nice today, man. Mm. He was real nice. Yeah, we do need to move on from Liverpool. We have been on them for a while. But I just want to, last thing, shout out our academy boys, Kwanzaa and Bradley. I thought they stepped up today and put in a real solid performance.
I think Kwanzaa more than Bradley.
Yeah. But I'm not sure, like, honestly, like, I do feel like both of them had, like, a lot of talent. But what Klopp's doing with some of our academy boys this season, I just can't believe it. Like,
That's what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about the title race as a whole. And I know you came in and you said you were disappointed by the result. But if you think about the team Liverpool fielded today, you're missing Trent. Salah didn't start. You didn't have
Jones.
No Jota. No Konate. No Alisson.
Oof.
And you're still going toe to toe with one of the best teams in the world. So that even though you are disappointed because you did play better on the day, I feel like you should take heart in that. If this team can do this, when you do get these players back, you can win the title. I wouldn't be disheartened if I was you. I would think, okay, cool. Yes,
tough though.
Yes, we didn't pick up the 3 points, but you're 1 point behind. You're level 1 points with Arsenal, no?
Mm-hmm.
You're level 1 points with Arsenal. City are 1 point behind. We're getting these players back slowly. We know Liverpool can go on a run. We know that we've seen it before. Yes, City can do it, but Liverpool have matched them toe to toe. So I wouldn't be disheartened. You are the better team. You probably are the better team right now. So no need for disappointment there.
Mm. You sure?
Yeah, man.
I don't know, man. This title race, I'm too scarred, but cool. Moving on to City, we need to quickly talk about them. They were obviously a little bit off it today. Like, I feel like because people aren't used to City kind of getting bopped, I feel like people have perhaps got ahead of themselves a bit. I still feel like City were decent today. They, you know, they had parts of the game where they definitely were the better side. But overall, they got cooked. Mm. Are we Are we worried about them? Are we still? Do we still feel like they're the overarching favourites for the title, as many people believe this season?
It's hard to worry about City because last season, there was a period in time people were saying City not the same, City not that same team, City not, not how they used to be. Oh, this new Pep system is not working. But time and time again, they prove you wrong and they just go on that run and win games. So I wouldn't say I'm worried about City at the moment. But they do need to get it together pretty soon. They need to start being the behemoth that is Man City quite soon.
Cool.
Well, I mean, they've got Arsenal next week. So
that's nah, 2 weeks time, bro. 31st of March.
Okay. I don't think they win that game, by the way.
You don't think they win?
Nah.
What do you think? Draw?
Draw, yeah.
I'm sensing a draw. I got to think that is the best result for us.
I have a draw, but or Arsenal win.
Again, I feel like City at the Etihad, sometimes out of nowhere, when the pressure's on, they can really put in a...
I feel like it'll be very bad for everyone else if City win that game. That's what I tell you. If City win that game, they're 99% they're going to win the league.
Do you think you can win at City on the 31st of March?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, like, Arsenal, I think we've just hit, like, form at the perfect time.
Mm.
Going into the game against City, putting ourselves, like, at the top of the table. In terms of the level of performance that we're reaching at the moment, like, the levels that each players are achieving. And it's not like, oh, it's one or two players that are carrying the team. Like, you can go through the whole, basically the whole 11, and, like, each player is playing to a very, very high standard.
Yeah, it's been
when
a good
form. When it counts, do you know what I mean? So
if Arsenal don't go through in that Porto game, they're going to lose against City.
That's
if
the
if
one
they don't
thing.
Win that Porto game,
yeah.
You think they're going to lose it? Yeah. To be fair, it will knock their confidence. 100%. It'll be a huge knocker. I feel like Porto got a serious, nasty, deep block ready for you guys.
They just battered Benfica 5-0 the other day.
Yeah, but I do feel like if Arsenal score in the first 30, they'll do... It will be a very easy game. It's just whether they can. I know Port, but if they kind of get to, you know, that young 50 minutes, haven't scored.
Start getting nervous.
Could be a challenging game. Do you think you'll beat Port?
Yeah, no, I think we'll beat Port. I think they'll come and they'll try and sit in. But I think the level of performance that we're kind of achieving, especially at home as well, and the ability that we're finding now to undo deep blocks, whether it's through utilising.
You were saying that in the first leg as well.
You were all saying that the first leg.
Yeah, I mean, like, first leg away from home, first Champions League game, like, in the, like, last 16 for a lot of these players, probably got to them a little bit. Manager was probably telling them to be a bit...
Manager's never played in the Champions League.
So, but I think coming back...
never played there.
No. I thought for Arsenal, I think one season, last season.
But we know how that probably went.
Exactly.
But I think playing at home, I think they'll have the fans behind them. I think, yeah.
Okay, you're saying Porto win comfortably, and you're saying Arsenal win comfortably against Porto, and then you're also saying that you'll beat City at the Etihad as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that'll be a good week.
Fantastic. Yeah. Sounds like a very good week.
Can't wait. I think City have actually banked on getting a win against Arsenal. Really? Like the last 5 minutes of today, I think showed that they were happy with a point at Anfield, which you would be, understandably so. But I think they need to beat Arsenal now. They want to go on and win it.
I do feel like Pep played for the draw. Once he got to the 70 minute, you saw he took off KDB. He brought on Kovacic for more control, which they did get. So you could see that he wasn't trying to go. So he wanted to take it out of that end to end state that it was in because he just probably thought it was too dangerous to lose. Last point on City and Liverpool is people are saying that City played better once KDB came off today. Is there any thoughts on that? I've got my opinion about it, which is similar to what I just said. Huh?
Share it.
No, my opinion is that it was just a tactical move. KDB, you know, wants to play forward, you know, wants to try playing Haaland. I think he just brought on Kovacic to bring more control to the game. I don't feel like... It's not that they played better. They played in a more controlled fashion because as a whole, they were struggling. So I feel like people saying that, oh, KDB comes in and City get more of a hold of the game. It's, you know, you got to kind of know how the game is going to sort of assess that.
You could argue that, definitely, but then you take away the punching power of KD. You lose a lot from that. Obviously, Kovacic can give you control in, like, deeper areas, but you lose massive threats, sort of De Bruyne to Haaland, etc. And I think they kind of lost that when he came off, but they gained control.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I said. I think it was it showed Pep not really having confidence to kind of take the game to us in doing that substitution.
One thing I will say is that I think over the previous years, when Man City make when they used to make substitutions, you would see like Mahrez coming on or like Bernardo Silva coming on. Like this part, and you're like, oh, like how have they got this much squad depth?
Yeah.
Whereas today, I looked at it and I saw Doku and Kovacic coming on, and I was like, it's not the same. It doesn't have the same effect. It, like Doku, those substitutes, they're not at the same level as what like they used to have coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Which then, like in terms of like whether Man City are the same, I feel like they look a bit more beatable nowadays.
Oh, you seem very confident that they're not what they used to be.
They're not what they used to be.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay, cool. All right, guys, let's move on. Arsenal. I feel like we kind of covered Arsenal and where they are in the title race. They're definitely in things. They're looking strong. So I'm not going to really go into detail of their game against Brentford, but I do feel like it's a big turning point. Well, not turning point, but it's a big win for you, especially winning last minute. That's always a major confidence boost. I just want to talk on a particular Kai Havertz.
No, we're not talking about Kai Havertz.
No, you've got to talk about Kai Havertz first. I know you want to talk about it. No, we've got to talk about Kai Havertz. It's a big talking point from this week.
Yeah.
So people are saying, obviously, he was bought in for 65 million. Arsenal fans weren't happy. Didn't start off too well. Also, in the Premier League, generally, he was getting beat down on.
Yeah.
Is it time for apologies? Last minute winner, playing a bit better. Yeah. You're not even going to let him play.
No, go.
It's not time for apologies. Kai Havertz has always been capable of this. I'm not here to even big him up. Like, there's a thing that Chelsea fans know. Yeah, we all said it. Kai Havertz in March and April, he always finds form. Every season, he finds form. He'll be rubbish for the beginning of the season, and this period, he starts to pick up form.
Okay.
If you remember a couple of years ago when he scored that goal against Newcastle, Jorginho pass during this period. He picks up like 8-9 goals during this period. So none of this is a surprise to me. So is what we've seen from Kai Havertz in just a short period, is that worth 65 million? No, it's not. You can never say that's worth 65 million.
But for a little while, he's been popping up with some important assists and goals. You know what I mean? Like kind of since December.
He's still the same player he was 3-4 years ago. Like I hate this narrative that Arteta's unlocked Havertz because he hasn't done anything.
I think with Kai Havertz, I think when he first joined at the beginning of the season, he just looked like a low confidence player.
Yeah.
Like on the ball, like he'd lose the ball. He wasn't passing the ball forward a lot. Sometimes he'd pass it backwards.
He wouldn't demand the ball either.
What I will give him now is that like you're starting to see like him be a confident player bit by bit, where it's like sometimes he has little moments, he's passing forward, he'll drive forward sometimes, and he looks like he's becoming like to the level of like what this team is meant to be. Obviously the one problem is that obviously we spent 65 million on him when it was like we could have spent that money on like a proper striker. And he's our top earner as well. So it's like, you combine those two factors together.
Top earner is shocking.
Yeah. So if you combine those two factors together, 65 million top earner, like you're expecting a lot from this player. And to be fair to the gaffer, he's starting to get something out of him. Whether you think it's 65 million pounds worth or whatever, it's up to you. But top of the league, man, I don't. You know what I'm saying? Guy's got the win off, so I'm cool.
All right, moving on. I know there's a certain Arsenal player that you want to speak on, called, you know, Mr. Ben White. He had a very good performance against Brentford. Two assists, I believe, and was solid at the back. What's your thoughts on Ben White so far this season and as a player on the whole?
Let me tell you about Ben White. Ben White, Benny Blanco, BW4, SR4.
Who's SR4?
Sergio Ramos.
Oh, God.
That's what we're coming
for. Hey, ring that bell.
This is what we're coming for.
Where's the bell?
This is what we're coming for.
Ring that bell.
I will say it again. I will say it again.
You're comparing.
Don't throw this in my face.
You're comparing. No, I had to, man.
Bro, SR4, man.
You're comparing Ben White to.
Let me tell you something. I'm just going to put this.
Yeah, what similarities do Ben White and Sergio Ramos
have? Let me tell you about Ben White now, yeah. Ben White. The level that he's touching at the moment in terms of on the ball, retention of the ball, key passes, the crossing, the overlaps, assists now, scored last week. In terms of off, like defensive responsibilities, he's very tenacious.
Mm.
He's kind of like putting in like slide tackles and just being that right back that is eventually going to get to the point where he's like a one versus one demon. He's becoming that guy. And in terms of why I call him SR4 now, yeah, it's because Sergio Ramos, before he became the Sergio Ramos we knew, right. He went to right back, yeah. And then he kind of like, you know, learned his trade a bit there, and then he came back in. I feel like it's the same for Ben White. Centre back originally.
So eventually he's going to become centre back again?
He'll go back into the centre, bro. Okay. And the fact that we're starting to see him do the inverted position now, and he's comfortable on the inside, and he can play the passes. Like, bro, the level this guy is touching at the moment, he's the best right back in the league.
Oh, God.
He's the best right back in the league right now. God, he's the best right back in the league. Worse. He's the best. No, let me tell you something here. Because let me tell you, you hype up Trent Alexander-Arnold, he inverts, whatever.
Yeah.
Ben White is inverting, and he's still getting round on the overlap as well to get two assists in one game.
Yeah, how many times Trent's done that in games?
All he does is invert and switches. I'm trying to think,
Has he been better than Kyle Walker this week? Yes. Or to be fair, yes. Kyle Walker today.
You saw Kyle Walker today.
Yeah.
Currently, Ben White is number one. He's the number one right back in the Premier League. The levels he's playing at the moment, he's number one.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that, man.
Why don't you know
he's
about
he's
that?
In and around there, man. I feel like Kyle Walker's been good. I mean,
which right back played this weekend who's better than Ben White?
Well, not this weekend. Kyle Walker had a bad weekend.
So, which right back played better?
Kyle Walker
had
a bad weekend, but
which right back?
I'll
ask you a question. Which right back played better?
Well, you're asking me on a weekend. Yes, Ben White was the best right back this season.
Pedro Porro. You're going to stand by that?
You got assists as well. Like, if you want to go off assists like this weekend.
The levels are different, man. The levels are
also different. I feel like if Trent hadn't been injured, he'd easily be the best right back this season. I think, level that we're seeing. No, but Ben White is doing well. I do feel like, you know, that was a little bit, you know, OTT, but I do like him. He's got some real good
quality
traits.
Player.
Yeah, definitely.
He played CDM a lot in the Championship for Leeds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then obviously for Brighton, played centre back. So he's got versatility. Mm. Do you think him inverting has actually sort of improved his performances instead of Zinchenko going in there? Obviously, Zinchenko's not been playing much, so in White instead.
Yeah, I think as an Arsenal fan, it was confusing at times as to why he wasn't used in the inverted position, because when we signed him, it was like the headlines were, you've got this ball playing centre back, and you're seeing the highlights from when he was at Leeds or at Brighton, where he was like spraying passes, he was like driving through teams and stuff like that. So the fact that he wasn't inverted was like, it was odd. But now it's the fact, what really impresses me at the moment is the fact that he can do the inverted position, and you know, I mean, he's very comfortable in the midfield, but then he's still getting round on the overlap like a traditional right back. Like, it actually doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how he's doing it, like, to be honest.
Yeah, the little role he has now is clean. But anyway, moving on.
I'm talking facts, bro.
Okay.
He's so cold, man. No, Ben White, he's so cold.
All right, calm down, man.
Sorry.
Okay,
man.
Cool. Moving on from the title race, moving on to the top four race. So we had a big game today in the top four race. Aston Villa went on against Spurs. They got smoked at home, 4-0.
Red card, innit?
Yeah, they had the red card, but still...
Quite early on,
but still, even in terms of performance, I feel like Spurs were a lot better. I think...
So you think the game would have gone that way, even if they didn't...
No, I don't feel like they would have lost 4-0, but I feel like they would have lost comfortably. I think it would have been 2-0, so probably. Okay. I definitely do think it would have been a two-goal deficit. But yeah, what's our thoughts on that game for the top four race? Who are we now favouring to get top four, Aston Villa or Spurs?
I always said Villa was never going to finish top four. It was never happening. Yeah, they've been great this season. Amazing team. But the Premier League, most of the time, the status quo is always returned to. So like, I always believe that by the end of the season, either United or Spurs will be filling that final fourth position. I congratulate Aston Villa for what they've done this season. Yeah. I congratulate Unai Emery, but this is the big leagues, man. Yeah. Come on.
Why do you feel the status quo always returns?
That's just the way the Premier League is.
The know-how.
Yeah, man.
With the know-how in that running period.
The running.
A lot of the times, those teams that have that good little run, they can't deal with it. Always, they drop a lot of points towards the end of the season where you're at that point where you have to win. Exactly. You know, kind of like the spotlight is on you. I remember Leicester in COVID time, they were like sort of 6 points clear and
there was like two or three seasons in a row where Leicester were basically fourth until like... Last day. And then they lose out.
Yeah. So it does often happen. I remember like even kind of back in the day, even Everton when they had a good side, sometimes it looked like they were dead set on time of getting top four and they just sort of fall away. So yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. In terms of Emery, a couple of people were saying that there's clear cracks in his tactical structure. Is that something that, you know, anybody is of the belief of?
Not for a club like Villa. Mm. But that's why I think we've seen him struggle when he goes to a top European club like Arsenal, PSG. I think his style of football really suits an underdog sort of club. And that's why he's done so well at Villa. But I think their European football didn't help them today. They've obviously played on Thursday against Ajax.
Mm, it can be a lot.
I think Spurs just looked fresher. Obviously, the football that Spurs play as well requires a lot of running. And they just cooked him at the end.
Cool. Cool, cool. So we're going for Spurs for fourth.
100%.
Cool. Villa fifth?
I said Spurs or United.
Think United can finish fourth?
Yeah, I'm going to go United.
These teams, they just have the note. They just know how to put it together.
I feel like United are rubbish, man. I don't feel like they're going to do it.
United could be rubbish and still do it.
Think about how bad United have been this season.
And look where they're
still close to fourth.
United got 47 points. And Spurs have got 53 points, 6 points different.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't think they're going to catch.
There's 10 games left.
So I'm going Spurs fourth. Where are you going?
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa will get?
I'm going to stick by them.
Okay. Who are you going fourth?
United.
And who are you going?
Spurs.
Cool. All right, cool. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about weekly roundup and rondos. A lot of football this week, even outside of that top four. We had CL in the week as well, Europa League. Any rondos before we go into any topics?
Should we talk about Kylian and Kane? They had two great weeks in the Champions League.
Yeah, I want to talk on Kane. I can't lie. You want to start? You can start, and then I'll talk on Kane.
I wanted to say, obviously, these are the two best players in the world right now, especially on form-wise. We've seen them. Kylian Mbappe is doing it time and time again. And I want to say this. I feel like you're not going to get me for this, but I feel like PSG are slight underdogs for the Champions League this season.
Really?
Because I feel like this is the first season that PSG have been in the Champions League and there's no pressure on them. People have just, because we've known them for the last 5-6 years, they're meant to be this great thing, but they never achieve it. People have stopped having that expectation. So now they just go in silently at their work, picking apart teams. And I feel like, if you don't watch out, and if you were one of the top teams was to get them, whether that's Arsenal, whether that's Liverpool or Madrid, they need to be careful because they do have good players. They do have a good system under Enrique right now, and they are getting the job done.
Fair enough. And I think, you know, kind of Mbappe, them only having like one star to carry also 100%. Helps them as well. You know, I feel like it was too much with Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe. You don't get enough energy on the pitch, but only having Mbappe helps a lot more. But I'm not sure they have the quality. To win the Champions League. I think they might be able to beat a big team here or there because, you know, when you got Mbappe on your side, you can do anything, but I'm not sure they can win it.
That's fair.
But anyway, I want to talk about Kane. Now listen, Bayern Munich are probably not going to win the league this season. I think Leverkusen are 8 points ahead. I'd be surprised if they win the Champions League, but they obviously have more of a chance there. I've been hearing about Kane, like, he's got no trophies. He's not going to win again this season. People saying he hasn't got quality. We need to come away from team success and sometimes look at individual quality. Kane is, as Marcus said, top two players in the world this season. I feel like he's having a ridiculous season. He scored his fourth hat-trick on the weekend as Bayern beat Mainz. He has 30 goals in 25 games in the Bundesliga. There's about 9 games to go. I think Lewandowski's record is 41 goals. I made a TikTok about this. He might beat Lewandowski's record in his first season. Like,
what did you say? Is it 44?
41. He's scoring more than a goal a game anyway. He might not anyway, but the level of goals he's scoring is ridiculous. And some of the creativity he's shown over the season as well. Absolutely stupid. I feel like he's such a complete striker. Yes, he's been very unlucky in his career, but I just feel like people kind of overdo team success and mix it with individual quality. Like,
when he finishes his career, what's he going to show his kids?
Yeah, he needs to win a trophy. He will win a Bundesliga. Like, Bayern Munich will make sure, one way or another, Alonso gets out of their league.
Do you think it's a coincidence that they're not, like, Harry Kane's...
Yes, it is.
No, it's a coincidence.
It's Leverkusen. And they lost in, what was the final that they had But they lost.
He was came off the bench. It was the first game he was there, bro.
Of course, it's a quick. So it's Kane's fault. What's Kane doing wrong in that team? Yeah. They haven't been good, and Tuchel hasn't been able to make them work. To blame Kane for what they, you see, you're on Twitter too much.
Evidently, you're on Twitter. Let's be real.
He's their best player.
Evidently, there's something Harry Kane's doing wrong. There must be.
I'm glad I mentioned it because I knew this was coming.
All right, let me tell you something. Yeah. In terms of the team he had at Tottenham, they were good enough to win a trophy. The team he's had at Liverpool, at England, they were good enough to win. They've been good enough to win a trophy. And he was the captain for both teams.
Yeah.
Now he's going to Bayern Munich.
He wasn't the captain at Tottenham. Lloris was the captain.
Okay, all right, whatever.
Continue.
All right, cool. Now he's going to Bayern Munich, who historically, they win a trophy every year, whether it's the Bundesliga, whether it's the Pokal, wherever it is. And suddenly, they're not on track to win a trophy this year.
But what's the concrete evidence? What's he actually done to cause them not to win trophies?
Bro, there's something. I don't know. But there's something.
England, look at the great teams, great players that England have had. They've won nothing since 1960, whatever.
Yeah, but they've won stuff in their club career.
1966, huh?
What are you saying?
Well, England haven't won.
But them players have still won stuff in their club.
Okay, you look at his, but Spurs haven't won anything either, bro. And they've had great players as well.
Bro, he's missed.
They had the prime Bale that we've seen.
Then he won stuff.
So yeah, why can't Kane do the same thing?
Kane will win at Bayern. Like,
let's see.
Wait, if you're Kane, if you don't win a trophy this season, do you stay?
Yeah, you stay. Of course, you stay. You see, at Bayern for about three seasons. I say.
Yeah.
I'd say about three seasons. I think his contract's 4 years. I think get to the third year and then see.
But this is my thing, yeah. You see the way you were saying that people can't keep saying that, you can't keep putting the emphasis on like the team results and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like people need to like start looking at Harry Kane and being like, what is going on here? Because why have you not won anything?
Well, if you look at him and you analyze him, there's nothing to come up with. There's nothing. Oh, he doesn't do this wrong. Like everything he does is golden. So you can't actually blame him. He's scoring 30 goals in the league.
But maybe the only thing you can say
that there's been a couple moments where, okay, like maybe...
For England, yes,
he could have done a bit more. But I still feel like every big player has those moments where they deliver or they're not. I feel like there's been a lot of times where Kane has delivered for his team in big moments, but people kind of ignore them because ultimately they never win.
Let's look at the big moment Bayern Munich had this season, which was against, Leverkusen in that game. How did he play in that game?
He didn't play very well.
I'm saying, what did he do?
But the whole team didn't play very
well. I know,
but
what did he do?
You're acting like it was a Diaz performance today.
I know, but I'm looking at him specifically. He's a striker.
That's what I wanted to bring up here. And when you look at Kane's club career and the lack of trophies, if you look at the certain moments where his team lost in it, whether it's the league, whether it's a cup competition, it's not like he's missing bare chances. Okay, that's not what happens.
Okay, right.
So he's not at fault.
You chose your wording very carefully there. What happened in England's last
club.
Biggest?
I said club.
I'm just checking.
No, you know what I think is so criminal. Like I look at someone like Haaland, who depends more on service, right?
He misses so many chances.
If Haaland was playing for Tottenham and in those games where they're getting shut out, he's not doing anything.
Kane scored 30 goals for Tottenham last season, in the league, 30.
Do you know what I'm saying? But Haaland doesn't have the capability to drop in, do stuff when his team's up against it. But we kind of accept it because he can get goals. So it's like, why does Kane need to like drop deep and start being R9 and bring his team up? He gets goals. His team should play well and deliver chances for him. And he will finish.
One last question from me. Has Harry Kane delivered in big moments?
He has delivered in some big moments. Like he scored a last-minute winner for Bayern the other day. He scored a brace. He got a last-minute winner for them. And if they had lost that game...
That was a big moment.
Yeah, it was a big moment. If they had lost that game, title's done.
He has that... like sort of Thierry Henry disease.
Whoa.
I like that.
Don't do that.
Thierry, like big games and big moments. He was quiet. No?
No, he wasn't, bro. No, he wasn't.
In finals, he was. He doesn't have a good record.
No, he wasn't.
He doesn't have a good record.
Probably Kane's biggest games in his career. He hasn't delivered as much as he should have. 100%.
I wouldn't say as much as he should have, but
there's only two games you can think of.
Has the club delivered though?
Champions League final.
Has the team delivered?
For England. Champions League final. He literally just came back from injury.
What happened in the running when Leicester won the league? Where was he?
Come on, man.
Nah, everybody's just. But you look,
so that Champions League final against Liverpool, Spurs weren't good.
No, I agree.
And he was injured.
And they were playing probably one of the best teams in Premier League in recent Premier League history.
Really and truly, Lucas Moura should have started that game anyway.
Yeah,
he kind of rushed him back, didn't he?
But I get it. He does need to deliver a bit more in big moments. But I do feel like some of the analysis is quite too heavily
it's
as
an easy narrative.
You know, some of the narrative that we're getting. I feel like this is more balanced.
It's an Arsenal bias.
I'm not sure about what's going on here.
It's an Arsenal bias.
All right, cool. Moving on to more kind of weekly roundup stuff. So we obviously had a lot of European football midweek. We had all of the competitions, play games. Premier League teams kind of, you know, this Brighton. Week and in the general, not doing as, you know, as well as some people may have guessed. Is the Premier League a bit too arrogant? You know what I mean? In terms of the coefficient right now, we're not looking too good. We're
not going to get the fifth spot.
We might not get the fifth spot, you know? I think Villa struggled. West Ham.
Brighton.
Struggled. Brighton got smoked.
Yeah, I saw your video on Brighton.
Yeah.
Because someone said that they would win Serie A.
Yeah, someone on Football Daily at the beginning of the season said Brighton would win Serie A.
That's crazy.
Well, there you go. Roma, what, fourth, fifth?
Fifth, yeah.
Fifth in the league. Got beat 4-0. I think Brighton struggle a lot in transition, but any thoughts Brighton on the Brighton game?
Brighton are struggling in general right now anyway. Mm. Like, they haven't been too good in the league either.
Mm. Mm. What's your thoughts on why?
Oh, it's personnel. They just don't have the players. Yes, the Zerbi's tactics worked for so long, but they lost too many guys and too many guys that were intrinsic to their system. And yes, they still have some good players there, but with the couple of injuries that they have, I don't blame the Zerbi for anything that's going on right now. I don't really want him to try to adapt his tactics to make Brighton how they were maybe previously or a bit more defensive. No, he's a very good tactical coach who plays a very good brand of football. So he just doesn't have the personnel to make it work right now in the league.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think some of the negative analysis on the Zerbi has been a bit lazy. Like, people talk about, oh, he needs to handle transitions better. You need physical
players,
you know, quick.
He's got Gilmore
defenders,
in midfield,
you know, defenders, saying. Good DMs. You're like, it costs a lot of money. You're not going to get, you know, quick physical centre backs that are good on the ball.
And he's juggling Europa.
Yeah, he's juggling Europa
so
as well.
Hard.
Like, how can Brighton attract, you know, that you know, a centre back that's quick, good on the ball, and physical? That's not at least young. They kind of have to go for that. So I do feel like sometimes it's a bit lazy. Like, they're always going to be a bit susceptible on the counter because it just takes too much quality to kind of get that.
Also, I don't think Ferguson is the guy we thought he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been so... Like, I know he's been in and out of injury as well, but he's been very quiet this season. Like,
yeah, he has
especially with the prices that were being quoted last year. It's like, he's not that player yet.
Yeah, first. Do you feel like he's just not that guy, or do you think it's the thing where...
He's a decent player. He has a lot of talent, don't get me twisted, but he's not going to be a world-class striker anytime soon at all.
Oh, you don't think so?
I still feel like guys like Hoyland are in a level above him.
And
they're similar ages.
Yeah, we saw that from Hoyland, but Hoyland's had struggled at periods as well. He didn't start that well in the league. I feel like we should talent. Yeah, no, I think that the hype with Evan Ferguson was overinflated, probably because Brighton have had so many gems. But I still feel like it's quite early. What is he, 19? I still think we've seen glimpses.
What gems have Brighton had that actually turned out to be gems?
McAllister.
Ben White.
McAllister.
They've sold a lot of players.
But most of them don't actually succeed elsewhere. Ben White. At least at Chelsea.
That's some good agenda. Yeah. So you feel like they're just overhyped.
Yeah.
You probably would, didn't
you? Basuma's doing all right at Tottenham, though.
Yeah, Basuma's been all right.
He's spent the whole season on the bench.
So you're not backing Caicedo, no?
I've never backed Caicedo, even before we got him. So I've never been
I always thought Caicedo was ridiculously overpriced.
But you lot rated him so highly. I said he's not the guy you lot think he is.
I did rate him quite highly.
He's
but
Ramirez.
But not... That's a bit of a drag, isn't it? But I did rate him quite highly, but not as high as...
Then you have like Cucurella as well.
Oh, yeah, he's not done too well. Is he injured at the moment?
Yeah, he's been out for like 4 or 5 months. So, yeah.
Oh, okay, fair. But he's not really here, actually. So do you think Brighton players were overhyped?
I feel like the system made them look better than they actually were.
Yeah.
Both Potter system and the Zerbi system.
And you know what the funny thing is? I always used to say about Brighton, like, a lot of the players that they overrate, like, you don't we watch Brighton, a lot of people watch Brighton when they're good because you watch your own club and they're not a big team.
I guess teams are their level. They don't do well.
Yeah, they don't always do. And like, they have shockers. Like, it's been more this season, but even like last season, they'd have those games and like, you know, a lot of these players like Caicedo.
And they get battered.
Know, like Cucurella, they're getting cooked, but you don't see it.
Because
everyone talks about Brighton when they do really well. They go to a big team, they pop them off the park.
Exactly.
But yeah, what's next on the agenda? Is it the... Oh, did anyone have any rondos or anything they wanted to say about the week of football? Anything else?
No, I don't want to see Chelsea play tomorrow. That's what I'm going to say.
Guys need to start prepping their rondos more, man. What's going on? But cool. Let's go into the bonus topic.
I've got a rondo, actually.
Oh, you got a rondo?
Yeah. All right. This is one of the least entertaining Premier League seasons ever.
Least.
You going to ring the bell?
Oh,
Jesus. Do you disagree? Yeah. And it's not just because I'm a Chelsea. You might think, oh, he's a Chelsea fan. I'm not involved in a title race. I'm not involved in anything special. No. Like, genuinely, even in comparison to last season, we had Arsenal and City going head-to-head for the title. I found that enthralling and exhilarating. I found the brand of football both teams were playing were very interesting and good to watch. There's no team, neither Arsenal, maybe Arsenal in the last 2-3 games, but Arsenal, Liverpool, City, I don't actually enjoy watching their games. I don't see brilliant football. There's nothing that really gets me off my seat. And then the rest of the league, I just feel like the standard's been quite poor.
I'd argue the complete opposite. I think this has been like a really, really entertaining season in the sense that you've got three top teams going for the league. Obviously,
Let me land, man.
You've got three top, obviously, Arsenal, the whole narrative around Arsenal is they bottled it last year. Can they do it this year? Mm-hmm. Liverpool, you've got the story of Klopp leaving. Can he win it on his last season? Then obviously Man City is like, can they go on and do the treble again? Obviously, in like history, we've seen teams win the treble and then slump afterwards. And then just below that, obviously, you've got like the Aston Villa, Tottenham, United competition for like fourth place. One thing I will say is that the bottom, the relegation side,
is the relegation battle is not good.
Burnley, Sheffield,
they've been shocking.
They've been terrible. Awful.
I think so we've got two shocking teams in the league.
Moving on, like even if you look in Europe, obviously like Real Madrid with the emergence of like Bellingham, that looks exciting. Obviously, as you're saying about PSG, they kind of look, you know, like an exciting proposition. Obviously, you've still got Arsenal in there. You've got Man City in there.
Let's call a spade a spade. He's bitter because he's a Chelsea fan. You don't love football no more.
You're going to say that, but
you feel disengaged. I agree. And I would if I
agree
were
with everything that Lesh is saying. I agree with it. Yeah. But that's how it looks on paper. When you actually watch these games, you don't get the same feeling.
You weren't entertained today.
I didn't watch the whole game because I was with my mother. Obviously, Mother's Day, big up my mum and that.
Oh, yeah. No. You can't use that as your get out.
Why not? It's Mother's Day, isn't it? Anyway.
No, he did well because I got cooked for watching that game, you know.
See?
Yeah, Mumsy was telling me, you just came home, you just watched that.
This guy has Liverpool above his mother now. What's going on?
Hey, Mumsy, don't say that. It could never be.
What I'm saying is like, I just don't feel enthralled when I watch these games. I don't like... Chelsea were bad last season. I still watched most Arsenal games and most City games. I still like, I need to watch this Arsenal against Southampton, Arsenal against Newcastle. I wanted to watch these games. The games were entertaining. They were end-to-end. I was on the edge of my seat. Yeah. I just don't find that as
today
much.
Today was edge of the seat.
Though. Yeah, today was definitely edge of the seat. One thing I would say is that Arsenal and City aren't as entertaining as they used to be. Arsenal as entertaining as last season and City aren't as entertaining as they used to be. I feel like they seek to control games more.
And more methodical.
It's very methodical. It's
too tactical.
It's almost too tactical. The way that they just lock down that middle of the pitch, it's like there's no space there for expression, but they're doing the business,
maybe it's just the Premier League, isn't it?
They're doing the business. But Arsenal have been, you know, in
last
recent
three,
games.
Last three games.
Last few games, they've been...
Since we come back from Dubai. Everybody needs to take a trip to Dubai
in the new year.
I'm an advocate for Dubai.
Have you been there?
Yeah, okay. Long time ago though. But I'm going. That's what you've done for the Arsenal team. I'm going again.
All right, guys, let's go into the bonus topic. So, wait, Marcus, you got a whiteboard?
No, you didn't give me one, bro.
Oh, is there not one beside you?
Where?
Oh, well, let me pop out and get it. All right, guys, I'm just gonna get one whiteboard for Marcus. We're doing the bonus topic.
Racial discrimination.
There's three black guys.
I'm the really real one. How am I going to end this? Thank you, brother. Let me get a pen. Oh, there.
Cool. You guys know the deal for the bonus topics. I'm going to ask a question. We all write down a name. And then we discuss. So the first one is, what did I have done for the first one? So for the first one is, so the question is, players where it just doesn't make sense how good they are. These are top quality players, right? That have got they've got attributes that just don't really match up to being a top level player. But for some reason, they do the absolute business. I feel like I saw the question, a similar question asked on BR Football. It was a culture it, cabs and Liaz.
Well. Confused me a bit.
So the question is, players who, they're top quality players, but it doesn't make sense because in terms of attributes, they're just not, their attributes just are not equating to what they're doing on the pitch. So an example that was given was Inzaghi back in the day. Like he was
an elite poacher.
Yeah, elite poacher. But bro, it didn't make sense. Like he's not that quick, can't dribble. His touch wasn't that great, but he just got goals. So yeah, that's the question. I've got mine. Oh, this pen is dead. Oh, cheers, bro.
I actually like this player, so I don't know what I'm doing this, but you know, fuck it.
No, it can be the player I've chosen, I like. Cool. Anybody want to start?
Go on, I'll start. All right, I've gone with Thomas Müller. I think he's a natural pick for this because it doesn't make sense why he's built a career on 15 years. You know, I saw highlights of the Champions League final in 2010 the other day. He was playing, doing the same stuff, running into the box, picking up sort of loose balls. Just got that knack of getting goals. I think probably in his peak, 2014 World Cup, he was really good in that Germany team. But it just doesn't make sense why he's so good at football and it baffles me. So that's why I put him down.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he's a good one. I actually had him as well. I'm going to try to think of somebody else. But no, I think it is a good one. I feel like, I don't know either. He's very intelligent. I feel like that's how it is. Yeah. Basically kind of built a career off elite movement and know-how of the game. Because you think about a player who plays CAM, who plays wide, who's been so top level, but can't really dribble. Not really spectacular in tight spaces, but can finish, knows movement, and is, you know, been a sensational.
He's very German in the sense it's more about efficiency and he keeps them very simple, but he does them to the perfection.
Yeah, basically. He does the basics,
yeah,
like, so well. Like, Muda makes no sense, man. Like, he'll have a game where he's absolutely cooking you and you'll be like, how? But yeah, I think he's a good one. Yeah.
I could have put down Closer as well. Miroslav Closer. I feel like he had good sort of abilities as a striker, but
so we're not just doing current footballers.
No, it's not just current football. Yeah, but not too like back in the day. You know, there's another one, Gerd Müller. I don't know if you have clips of that guy, but
you did not watch Gerd Müller.
I didn't watch him, but if you watch, one time, because he had Messi's record, I was like, oh, like what's this guy on? Like this kind of amazing player that's got so many goals. I watched a YouTube highlight reel of this guy. Yeah, it was the deadest thing I've ever watched. Proper just short little guy with bare pace. Just, I don't know how he got so many goals. But anyway.
Like Salah.
Oh, stop. Stop that, man. All right, but yeah, cool. That's me and Max done. Yeah, you go.
My one's Bernardo Silva.
Get out. Leave the studio.
Let me land. What? The reason I said Bernardo Silva, yeah, is because it's what he does off the ball that doesn't make any sense to me. Okay. Like his physicality, like the way he runs. Like, yeah, he runs, like tackles, duels, that side of his game. It just doesn't make sense to me because obviously like players of his stature and like the game he's supposed to be is like the Juan Matas, da 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 and whatnot. But this guy is like a little pit bull on the pitch where it's like,
to be fair,
he's winning duels. He's up and down the pitch. Like he's everywhere. He's involved in everything, whether it's like, yeah. So it just doesn't make sense.
In that side of his game, I kind of see. I feel like a good example of that today is even like he was running with Nunes for a free ball today, and he kind of like just positioned his body in a way to just kind of just stroke and pass and won the ball. And he thinks
he's so clever.
Free run with Nunes. You just thought any player of his size is getting absolutely smoked, but he's very, very clever with how he uses his body, and he's very tenacious. So I think that's a good one in terms of his physical side. Technically, he's absolutely superb. Yeah, so. Yeah. So it's still kind of...
It's not shaky.
It's semi-howler. Explained well.
You're talking about Gerd Müller, bro.
I just threw him out there. He took my one, man.
Right, let me do
Salah, though. Get out of here, man.
Okay, I've got 3.5. You might not cook me for the last one, but it's a certain type of player, I feel like. So this is Oscar.
Oh! Draxler. Wait. No. Ignore everything. Why in God's...
There's a question mark with Kaká because what he actually does is like, he's not too silky. You know what I'm saying? He's not too silky. He's not like, he hasn't got the close control. He hasn't got too much flair either, but he just does amazing things. I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand. He uses a lot of PNP and he's very intelligent, but I don't feel like his profile of player should reach the level that he actually reached, but he did because he was just so good at everything he did. And the other three.
No. Whoa. My turn to get my gun.
Yeah.
Really?
Really, yeah.
But I feel like his final third ability and his PNP was top notch. Is it because he's not the type of player you think he'd be? Is that?
I feel like with the attributes he has, most players with those attributes are never reaching anywhere near that type of that level of player. He's a Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah.
What name five good attributes quickly. If you name five, I'll be impressed.
Finishing.
Okay.
Final pass. Final pass is definitely good.
Okay,
yeah, dribbling.
Yeah. And then
let's talk about his dribble. What type of dribbling did Kaká used to do?
No, I can't lie.
He was silky.
No, I'm not having that. Kaká's not silky.
He was
silky. That's it.
That's not disrespect.
You think Kaká was silky?
He was silky.
Nah, he's not.
What's your take?
I don't think he's got that tight, close control.
He doesn't.
Do you know what I mean? It's more like push it and like go past someone.
Definitely.
You know in FIFA when you use that button to push the ball up in front of you? That's Kaká. That's what he does.
This is a prime Jogger Benito.
He's not Jogger Benito. He's in the videos. Because he was Brazilian.
Yeah.
He's Brazilian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fred is Brazilian. Now, I'm not comparing Fred to Kaká, but...
You just did, but yeah.
but Kaká's definitely not silky, but I do feel like he had...
Don't get twisted. I respect Kaká as a player. I'm just saying, with his profile, with his attributes, I'm very surprised at where he reached as a footballer.
Yes. Why is Götze on there?
I think Götze is trash, to be honest, but...
Well, I said that with disdain. What did Gerson do to you?
Let's go back to 2014 or 2013 and 2014. He was meant to be the next big thing, yeah?
Yeah.
But every time, even as I'm playing, even for Dortmund, I just said, what's the big hype about it? He scored a World Cup final goal. He gave him a bit more plaudits, but I never actually saw anything that gave him any ability that meant he's going to be the next best young and wonder kid. Yeah. And I don't know why he got that far. Draxler is pretty similar. Draxler meant to go to Arsenal since like 2010. That was every summer he meant to go to Arsenal, and there was just nothing there after he left. I think it was Schalke. I just never saw anything from him.
I feel like you're just going for players that you hate on.
I think I hate Oscar.
No, I don't. But I feel
I don't hate Oscar, but in a similar sense to Kaká, it's like. He's not a matter profile, but he done quite well for Chelsea. He was a starter for Chelsea. Mourinho loved him. Whether that's because he worked hard, I don't know. But I thought I'm surprised he reached that level with his skill set. Like, yeah.
Okay, so that's back to answering the question. So I think you have Oscar and Kaká, Draxler and Götze.
I just don't like Götze.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, cool. All right, second question that we got here is let me just read that again. Okay, yeah. So players who should be amazing. In terms of their traits, their attributes, but they just aren't like, not that they're like flops necessarily. It's a different question to that. It's like players that all the fundamentals are there, but they're just not that good.
I can mention like 15 Algerian footballers.
That's joke. No,
that's so funny.
There's a lot for those guys.
That's funny.
I've got mine.
I'm going for a previous player. I've got mine. Mario Balotelli. I think
this guy had
everything that you'd want as a striker. Strength, touch, link-up play. Could slap one, top bins. but the issue is he didn't have the mentality for it. I think that let his development down massively. But just on pure like attributes and characteristics, if you built a striker... kind of would look similar to Balotelli.
Yeah.
But obviously just didn't reach his potential.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Definitely. I think he is one. Cool. I'm going to go next since mine was stolen before. So I want to get in early this time. Mine is Ousmane Dembele. When I look at Dembele, I remember watching him as well when he was young. Like him as a winger, someone who is blessed with amazing pace.
Both feet.
Power. Both feet like you wouldn't believe. When I started watching him, I didn't know what feet he was. Like, everything was there where you just thought... And he's got, like, lightning close control and everything. Everything was there in terms of just being a top player. And literally, he was, I remember for France, him and Mbappe were the ones that they were looking at when they were young. Like, we, you know, we've got wingers for a generation. We've seen Mbappe, you know, kind of go to unbelievable heights. But Dembele, I just really don't think he's good. Some people still feel like he's a top level player, but I really feel like he's well off it from where he thought he was. I didn't think he did that great at Barca. He's not really doing anything too special at PSG. It's just a shame because the traits he has, that ability with both feet.
Special, isn't it?
But very, very special, but just not that great. And
injuries hurt him.
Injuries did hurt him. But I feel like decision-making, I don't feel like he has that. He doesn't have a lot of intelligence as a, and I know players always take that as the, you know, kind of the ultimate insult, but it's a fact. He doesn't make good decisions on the ball, always wants to just dribble down the line. He could do so much with the tools he has.
Do you remember his World Cup final performance?
Oh,
Hall of Shamer.
Do you know what I mean?
It's horrendous.
Do you know what's funny?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Do you know what's funny is that, like, when I'm watching wingers like Dembele, or even if it's like those wingers in the Premier League, whether it's like a Hudson-Odoi or somebody like that who's just got bags of potential, loads of flair, but it's like, why isn't it clicking? But when I'm watching those types of wingers, it just emphasises the point to me that decision-making is maybe the most important, like, characteristic that a winger needs. Because, like, when you're looking, not to, like, be, like, very Arsenal-biased, but somebody Saka. Like Salah or, like, Saka or somebody like that, the reason why they're actually so good is because they just have consistent decision-making all the time. Like, it's the number one thing. Yeah. You can have all the pace, all the dribbling, but if you don't have decision-making
of when it's right, how to combine with players. Yeah.
It's worth nothing.
No, I think that's a good point. Cool. Quickly, guys, let's finish up the show. So,
that's a shout. Now you reached deep in the bag for this one. You reached deep.
When he said Dembele, it came to me straight
away. Yeah. I saw the lights go on still.
This guy should be an elite footballer. Like, his technical ability is out of this world. Yeah. Literally out of this world. There's some things he could do on the ball, which 99% of footballers couldn't dream of.
Yeah.
But it just never clicks.
Yeah.
At Tottenham, it didn't click. At Napoli, it didn't click. It's like, and his career's kind of just going downhill. Obviously, the reason behind this is probably fitness. He's not very fit.
Yeah.
He doesn't apply himself defensively at all. But this guy should be a generational player.
He should be a top player. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I don't feel like naturally, actually, he's actually the fittest player. Mm-hmm. But I also don't feel like he puts it, from what his coaches say, apparently he puts in no effort to do so either. And apparently his diet kind of is... Have you kind of seen him at Galatasaray? He's putting a little bit of weight. You know?
It's quite sad, actually.
Yeah.
Someone go down that path. The ability he had
was crazy. I don't know if you've seen someone like the training clips of the type of stuff he can do with the ball, but he's...
He's a magician with the ball.
Magician. Honestly. And even some of the stuff you see him do in games. Mm. Yeah. He's actually got good end product as well. Like, he can shoot, pass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, happens sometimes. All right, Lesh, final one.
I got two.
Okay.
And they're the same type of player for me in the sense that these are like, they're two foot attacking players and they have bags of potential and they could both potentially be like the top three in their positions in the world currently,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but something's just missing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Coleman and Felix. When I look at both of them,
Coleman, that's interesting.
At Coleman, in terms of like, his dribbling ability and his one versus one ability, he's always been able to like cut in and shoot, like even from when he was like a youth prospect.
Coleman's a Willian to me.
Interesting. But these two in particular, like him and João Felix, like they were kind of like star boys when they first came through.
They had
bags of potential and it's just not clicked and they should be the top three or something, but it's just not happened. I don't know.
Coleman's an interesting one because he's one that doesn't really get much heat.
I think he's a sidekick and he knows that.
Yeah, but when you actually think about how good Coleman was when he was young, and he's like, what, 28 now, 27? He probably should
He's won a trophy every single season he's played football.
Yeah, he's been very successful, but I think he's just kind of taken that role, but the youth...
And there was a season in the Champions League he did shine, no?
Yeah, he scored a winner, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Oh, well, maybe. He's had a pretty good career, to be honest.
Like, he's not going to end his career and think, oh, I've had a shit.
No, he's not. But as in terms of, like, maybe, are you saying you think Coleman could have been like a...
Could have been one of the best wingers in the world. Like, potentially, he should be up there.
Fairs.
at the moment, if I say to you like,
but he has a consistent level that he doesn't really drop beyond. Like if you put Coman on the pitch, you know what he's gonna do, and most times he does it. I just don't think he has the ability to go above and beyond. Yeah.
He's a good counter.
I feel like he's always had the potential to like go up the level. He just doesn't do it, and it doesn't make sense why he doesn't do it. Because it's not like he's clearly lacking something. When you look at some wingers and it's like, oh, he clearly like, he's not agile. He hasn't got the best dribbling or something like that. With Coman, I look at him and I'm like, there's nothing missing here. So it should work for you to be one of the world's best, but it doesn't happen.
What I think it is, I think the level that Coman displays, he's been displaying for quite a long time, even when he was really young. And obviously when you're young, you're displaying this quality of level. It's like, oh my God, it's going to be can it continue to progress? But he's just kind of stayed at that level. And I feel like it's more of a mentality thing. He hasn't got that mentality to be like, okay, I want to be that guy. So we don't see that as much. That's probably why he hasn't reached the heights that maybe some people were expecting him to go to.
Fair enough.
Felix, I agree with though.
Why is Felix not managed to sort of really put it all together, even though he seems to have all the attributes?
Don't know. That's another one where I'm like, he's got it all, but it just doesn't work.
That talent is
ridiculous. Like, well, as a Chelsea fan, you like,
I think there's bags of talent in this, and I feel like he is capable of showing this talent and on the pitch, and he could do it consistently. I don't feel like both at Chelsea, similarly at Barcelona and at Atletico Madrid, he hasn't been in the right environment.
You're gonna keep on going environment. To be fair, those are some pretty awful environments.
Literally, and
for him, but
and even his life outside of football is not a bit chaotic as well.
Oh, okay. Well, what's going on there?
With his girl and that other play and Pedro Porro and all that.
Okay. Yeah. So you just think it's just an environment thing?
Yeah.
Well, I think modern day football isn't suited to his type of player anyway. Like,
interesting.
Number 10. Like, he is the definition of a number 10 for me.
No, not for me.
He's just a second striker, not?
Yeah.
That sort of like roaming, floating sort of in behind the strike. Can he play false nine? I don't think he can play that.
You'd like to think he could, which is maybe part of the problem, but he can't.
Nah, he's off the striker. Old
school Liverpool, he could play false nine. He could do Firmino's role.
I don't think he could do that off the ball work.
Nah, he doesn't. Because Firmino's role does like involve getting bashed a bit around by centre-backs. He don't want none of that. He don't want that. He's an off the striker player.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway, guys, got a round at the show. It's getting late tonight. Like, subscribe and all that lovely stuff. Thank you for tuning into the Rondo once again. We'll be back again next week, as always. Love to all.
Sweet.